Well, you end up going off to college to my alma mater, your alma mater, Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. Do I remember that you were a young man when you started there?
Yes, I was 16.
Mm-hmm. Was that common back then to start college?
No. I was the youngest person in my class.
Yeah. And tell us about your experience there. I mean, what was most crucial in your development as a musician?
I had taken piano all the time, and I decided that I wanted to have a change, and so I picked up organ for a year, and I loved that. And I continued playing the clarinet, and then took up piano again. And then the honor that was given to juniors was to be the soloist for the commencement people as seniors. And then, so I did the Liszt Piano Concerto in E-flat. That probably was my highest technical achievement.
Wow.
But I got to do lots of student conducting when I was a senior. And then I knew this had to be it, that's all.
Now, it's so interesting that, I mean, most people think of you primarily as a choral conductor. Yeah. And, of course, eventually at Luther, that was your sole focus. But for many years, you also did direct the band.
Yeah.
And so much of what we've talked about thus far has been more instrumental than choral.
Mm-hmm.
Where was it that, aside from, you know, your Sunday night reverie with the radio, when did you start to realize that you also had a strong calling as a choral musician?
Any class that had anything to do with a choir or any activity. There's a wonderful hymn, the Norwegian hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White. They talk about the white robe choir. Oh, that would send me into a trance, you know, just to think. So that becomes my favorite hymn. The choral was strong all the time along with the instrumental.
Mm-hmm. So what is the year you graduated from Luther?
Graduated in 1943, as the war was really underway, as
right.
we know.
You actually saw combat in the Second World War as a tank commander. And in fact, if I understand, we've never talked about this, but I know that you were present or some sort of participant in the Battle of the Bulge, if I remember correctly.
Yes, we were all set to make a big push to take Cologne. And in fact, the artillery was already laying down the barrage. And all of a sudden, everything stopped. We didn't know why, but the word had come down that there was a breakthrough in Belgium south of us. And that's what we call the Battle of the Bulge. And so everything was to go down there. And so we got in our tanks and our half tracks and so forth, and went straight down to Belgium.
I wonder what the experience of being part of the Second World War and part of something like the Battle of the Bulge, how that remains with you to this day. I mean, do you feel like you can point to certain things that you learned or certain ways in which maybe as a human being you grew? I mean, what sort of difference did that ultimately make in your life, if it did make any kind of significant difference?
The only way that one can survive in battle is hate. You have to feel so strongly against the person that you're supposedly going to terminate their life. And I had that feeling because of Hitler, and I felt that everybody was so loyal to Hitler and so on and so forth, which wasn't necessarily the case. But that's how I prepared myself for that. It just happens. And then towards the end of the war, I thought, well, now what am I going to be like when the war ends? And the minute the war ended, that hate was gone. They were just like anybody else, and I had compassion with them. That's probably the singular most profound realization. Also, We got off maneuvers one time, and we'd been on maneuvers all November and December and January and into February, and we're never allowed to go into a single building. And we slept outside every single night in trees or whatever place we could get to if it was wet. And we were then moved to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, in some old army barracks with a pot-bellied stove. And the first night in there, it was raining. And I was dry, and I was warm, and I thought I was in the Waldorf Astoria, New York City. And I've never quite lost that appreciation.
Hmm. When one has experienced deprivation, then the smallest of blessings really mean a lot. Do you feel like, as someone who's in something of a leadership position, do you feel like any of that carries over to all you've done since as a conductor, as a leader of ensembles? Were there leadership lessons from that experience?
I think so, because in a tank or whatever small unit you're in, each one's life depends upon the other. So there's a terrific amount of loyalty and depth of concern. And so I had a chance to go back to Paris during the Battle of the Bulge and entertain troops because I play piano. I could not leave my friends. I felt I would have betrayed them. Well, in other words, that's a esprit de corps within a group. Mm. And when you're conducting, what do you want? You want esprit de corps within that group. You want loyalty, and you want each one depending upon the other. There is a carryover. That's right.
Mm. For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking today on the morning show with my highly esteemed mentor from Luther College, Weston Noble, who now I can say is also from Carthage College, in that he is serving this year as a very distinguished guest conductor, interim conductor of the Carthage Choir. We are talking about his long and marvelous musical career. And after the Second World War, where does life take you?
Life was all set for me to go to the Juilliard School of Music in New York because I was accepted. And I was packing in the morning to take the noon train to become a student at Juilliard. And all of a sudden, I sat down the side of the bed and I said to myself, I just can't pack. I guess I'm not going. So I went downstairs and I said, Mom, I'm not going to Juilliard. What? You're not going to Juilliard? No. What are you going to do? I'm going to pick up the Des Moines Register and find a high school that needs a music teacher. And I ended up teaching a little high school. The total enrollment was 93, and 75 of the 93 were in the mixed chorus.
Wow.
And I was there, had the band and the choir and the English literature class, and never had English literature. That's the way they did. Hmm. And I stayed there 2 years.
And where was there?
Hmm?
Was that in Iowa someplace?
Yeah, it's just it's a little tiny town in north central Iowa. Mm. Yeah.
Have you ever stopped to try to sort out what happened on that morning in terms of what held you back from going to Juilliard?
Oh, absolutely. If I had gone, I would have gone out there and been so disillusioned because who's ever heard of the choir at Juilliard? Mm. I wouldn't have been getting any training in my field at all. I wouldn't have been preparing myself to teach students in a high school. And I just know that there was somebody who had a hand on my shoulder and said, young chap, this is not where you're supposed to be now.
Hmm.
You're supposed to go out and find out how to work with students in a small school. You're supposed to go out and teach. And, of course, that was exactly right.
Now, if we could step back in a time machine and be a fly on the wall and watch you in action with those first choir rehearsals as a young man in that little high school, what would we have seen? Would we have seen very impressive work that would have knocked our socks off?
I wonder what you would have seen, Greg. I'm not sure. I know you'd seen someone who's very enthusiastic. first rehearsal, I got three chords in tune, and that was it. And I just thought I would reach the moon. Oh, my goodness sakes. No, I think you had seen somebody who was very, very romantic in his approach to things. And I had a guest clinician come in once, and after the clinic, he came up to me and he said, "Weston, you're just all over the place. You got to get yourself focused, you know." So I was retarding here and, you know, all the excesses. Well, you eventually start to grow out of that and become a little bit more cerebral. But at the time. But I know that I was enthusiastic, and I think that's what the students caught, and I think that's why we had a good time together.